Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. Today's date is November the 14th, 2015. And tonight's topic is What Makes a Man, Part 1. Part 2, inshallah, will be on Monday, and that will be about what makes a woman. First and foremost, we want to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us life, you know, being able to see another day and, you know, be prosperous throughout this day. As I say with, you know, all my calls, we have to be thankful to Allah for everything, because it is only through His mercy that we are alive and we're not in our graves, mashallah. Also, I wanted to speak on tonight in regards to the terror attacks that happened in Paris. We know as Muslims, and we can reiterate this a million times, and people are going to believe what they want to believe, just plain out of plain ignorance. Islam does not in any way, shape, or form condone terrorism whatsoever. Islam is a religion of peace. If anybody takes the actual time to read hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will understand that he exemplified what sabr is, or patience. He exemplified it, and he did this in very strenuous situations. He showed the people a great restraint when he could have ordered the Sahabas to act in a manner that would totally be unbefitting of a Muslim, but he didn't. He exemplified patience that none of us here on the face of this earth would exemplify in today's time. So when, you know, you hear about these terror attacks and you hear how these people want to claim that they're Muslim and, you know, claim, you know, we did this, so forth and so on, Muslims know that this in no way, shape, or form shows what Islam is about. This is totally against Islam. We are not even to keep captives. If you are a captive of a Muslim, we are to treat you just like you were a guest in our home. We cannot torture you. We cannot brutalize you. We could not rape you. We could not do any of these things because we know that we would suffer the penalty from Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment action. There was a movie out not too long ago with Mark Wahlberg. He actually played in this movie. And he was a captive, I believe, in Afghanistan. And a Muslim family over there took him in to shelter him from being persecuted, I believe, either by Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. This was a movie. And when people heard about this, you know, like, it didn't stay in the news very long. Of course not. It wouldn't stay in the movie, in the news very long, because it showed that this family could have turned them in, could have 100% turned them in, turned them loose to them. This family would have suffered the repercussions for aiding and securing him. And they treated him with, you know, they treated him with the utmost respect and care for him and sheltered him from being tortured by them. So this is something that shows what a true Muslim would do. ISIS and all these other, you know, people, groups, or whatever like that, we know that these are not real. These are created by various governments, so forth and so on, to cause fitna throughout the world and to keep the people in fear of Islam. ISIS has killed over 100,000 Muslims. Over 100,000 Muslims. We know that these beheadings and things, all this is against Islam. It's against Islam. This is not what we do. And, you know, again, you know, somebody said, oh, well, you should speak on this. again, we can speak on this till we're blue in the face, till everybody is in the grave. People are going to remain ignorant because they fear what they don't know. And these people who fear all these groups and fear Muslims, it's out of pure ignorance. It's just out of pure ignorance. It has no basis in Islam. And again, as I said, we could talk about this forever. And these people will continue to be ignorant because they will take passages from the Quran, they will take passages from the Hadith and switch them and try to turn them to suit their needs. We know what it states in Quran, but you guys never release the entire passage of what that situation details. You release one portion of it and, you know, want to get on a bandwagon with that and, you know, go forth and spew hate against Islam. If you ever studied Sharia law, and, you know, and I'll say this real quick and then we'll get into the topic of the show. I just thought that, you know, this was very important just to touch on the basis of this, you know, in light of, you know, what happened over in Paris. We know that certain things happen in certain countries and they will never get the press coverage. They will never get the press coverage because of their skin tone or their economic status. If anything happened in a country where there were brown-skinned people or dark-colored people, this would have never reached the news. And we know that these things happen every day in both countries. I'll speak on Haiti real quick. We know that when Haiti suffered the earthquake, the Red Cross raised billions of dollars, and not one of those dollars has been used in Haiti. Actually, the Red Cross has only built 6 homes after all that money that they raised. 6 homes in Haiti. It's a fact. You guys can go look it up. We know when all this stuff happened with Boko Haram over in Africa, like, you know, there has been no one there to help those girls. We know that this stuff happened and that people of color don't get the press coverage. In regards to Sharia law, if anybody understands Sharia law, nobody in this world wants Sharia law to be implemented, and I'll tell you why real quick. Sharia law would wipe out the deficit that the United States has if you follow Sharia law, because we don't deal in interest. Women would have more rights than what they have. There would be virtually no one poor. We understand that Sharia law, with how it's balanced and what its basis is more equal than any democracy on the face of this earth. And, of course, people fear that. And this is why they put people in fear and tell them, oh, no, Sharia law is going to do this, Sharia law is going to do that. But look at why it does it. But people fear it. Because, you know, this is what people do, because Islam is the light. It's the perfect religion. It's the perfect. And another thing people have to understand, that Islam is perfect. The Quran is perfect. Muslims are not perfect. So, you know, when you know, people want to associate, you know, certain groups and certain terroristic activities with Muslims and things like that, you know, it upsets me. It upsets me a great deal because, you know, it's just to keep you in fear. It's to keep you in fear. First they had the Al-Qaeda. Then they had Hezbollah. Then they had the Taliban. Oh, they killed off all these people. So now they got to create another group, ISIS. Oh, this is what ISIS is doing. But they're not even looking at what these people do. It's to keep you in fear, the masses, to keep the people in fear, because if everyone followed Islam, this country would not be in the situation that it is. The government, the politicians wouldn't be able to enact the things that they do. So they fear it, and they put hate in the hearts of people who already are ignorant. These aren't smart people or people who want to understand the Islamic religion. These are people who are too ignorant, and they believe anything that somebody says on TV. So, you know, this is what happens. In light of that, you know, I still pray that Allah brings peace and that no hurt, harm, or danger comes to the Muslims in light of this action, that Allah keeps us safe from these acts, and that, you know, it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call to us first and foremost, because we know Allah will not change the condition of a people until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. And, you know, there are definitely things that we have to work on, and everything that we do as far as separating and dividing the ummah, this is a sign from Allah that we need to stop it. Because what do they say? It's strength in numbers. But as long as we're divided, you know, people can continually to attack us, and we don't have that strength. So, you know, inshallah, we get it together and stop all this division and all this rhetoric about, you know, this and that, and just come together for the cause of Allah, I mean. So before I get into the topic at hand tonight, and I see there are a lot of callers on the line tonight, the topic is what makes a man? And I'll put out there the number if anybody has a comment, question, or concern. If you're streaming via the web or if you're dialed in at 805-727-7013, you can press 1 to speak if you have a comment, question, or concern. I chose this topic tonight, and it's unformatted, so I'm not going to, you know, have hadith and Quran to validate, you know, my statements. This is just something I felt was, you know, very important that we should be discussing in light of everything that has happened in the United States and abroad in other countries as well. You know, when I was growing up, I had a father. My father was in the home. He was married to my mother. My father worked 2 jobs. And, you know, he took care of the family as a man does. But, you know, the love and affection part from, you know, my father was not there. It wasn't, you know, I love you and things like that. I mean, my dad would give me kisses and hugs and stuff like that, but it wasn't the approach that, you know, we have today. You know, back in the day, it was like, you know, a man doesn't show his emotions because that makes him less of a man if he shows his emotions. If he cries, he's less of a man. If he shows any of these things, he's less of a man. And, you know, a man has to be hard and rigid and, you know, can't conform to these types of feelings. But we know that when children lack these things, especially daughters from their fathers, they will go out and seek this type of attention from men. This is what they do because they're not getting it at home, whether the father's in the home or not. You know, if the father's absent from the child's life completely, you know, these are things that, you know, children need. They need love and affection, not just from one parent, from both parents. Every child needs a father in their life, some type of father. I know a lot of times, you know, fathers come around and they don't actively participate in their child's life because it's not because they don't want to. It's not that they don't want to. It's because they don't know how to. Especially, you know, if the father grew up and he didn't have a father, he does not know what he should be doing as a father. He may, you know, always give that child money, just give him money. But that's not the complete way to be a parent. You have to devote your time, energy, and love to your children. It's very important that men show affection to their children. It's something that children long for. You know, a lot of these children that are growing up in today's time, they don't have a father, period. in their corner. So, you know, it's very important that we reiterate that fathers participate in their children's lives, and the women don't be so bitter towards these men even after the relationship has ended. If you have children with this man, he deserves to be in that child's life unless he did something that would totally, you know, not be proper for that child or put that child in a harmful situation, something of that sort. But if that man has done everything that he has possibly can to be active in his child's life, allow him that right to do that. Another thing is, it's not always important for financial means. You know, people want to put a dollar figure on a lot of things, and it's not always that way. Time sometimes is way more important than financial. And a lot of times fathers can, you know, donate that time versus actually, you know, spending financially on a child. So, you know, again, these are things that we need to keep in account of and not be so harsh on these men. Again, a lot of these fathers don't know how to be a father, and they emulate maybe what they see off of TV, or they see what they were privy to, such as, okay, this is what, you know, I seen my father do. He didn't come around that often. He, you know, was in and out of jail. So, you know, he didn't have much. So I'm just going to, you know, emulate what my father did. I'm going to try to be active in my child's life. But because, you know, things weren't always what they seemed to be, and children don't have that, I guess I'm going to say, children aren't as aware as we don't think they are, but they are. Children understand what's going around them, but it's not so much that, you know, children are smart, so we definitely need to give the kids the credit on what they know, because children aren't stupid. Children can come back and tell you what you said, what you done, so forth and so on. Believe that. Absolutely believe that children know what's going on. You know, it was a blessing to have my father in my life up until the day he died. So, you know, I tell everybody I was a daddy's girl. And, you know, to have your father your entire life is something great. It's something great. Not to have a not absent father. My father was there from the day I was born to the day he died. So, you know, that's definitely a blessing in itself. Because not too many people get to experience that in their life, or to say that they even had that type of relationship with their father. So that's you know, very important in today's time, because these kids, I'm telling you, these kids are lost out there. I see that I have a call I'm going to put you through. Hello, thank you for joining me. Religion Means a Lot.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience, and assalamu alaikum, Sister Qadira.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Alfred.
You're doing a phenomenal job serving a perfect God and creator, and got an imperfect friend and collaborator. I just want you to know you're doing a wonderful job. I just enjoy the program. It's going to relieve me of all my tensions as I try to heal from prostate cancer. I just want to make an appeal on the air for people to support my prostate cancer fund. Right now, my bank account is kind of is messed up, so I prefer people send donations to Imam Alfred on PayPal. But I need $300 by Tuesday because I have to go to the physician. And the doctor says my numbers are coming back much better. And I'd like to just explain to the audience well, how I'm being treated. I've been diagnosed with stage 1 prostate cancer. However, I decided that I didn't want radiation, I didn't want chemotherapy, I didn't want surgery. For all three of them make you incontinent. I hope most people in the audience know what that means. Impotent. Please be quiet. Don't you know I'm on the air? So these are serious things, and I didn't want to go through it. I have friends of mine who have become incontinent. They've been had surgery 5 years ago, and they still have to walk around with a diaper. They're impotent. Not a very good life, but they're alive. I would like to be alive, to listen to Religion Means Alive, Qadira, Aisha Muhammad. Hopefully she'll make me some hummus one day, and I'll be celebrating. Just don't want to be in that other situation. So I've opted for alternative treatment under a medical doctor, not your naturopath, not some guy who cooked up his degree in the back of his basement or got a degree out of a matchbook, but an actual medical doctor who is board certified in integrated medicine. Unfortunately, my insurance company does not pay for it. They only pay for lab tests and this and blood work. So I need your help. I need your support. Please send your donations to Imam Alfred at PayPal. Whatever you can put in the mail, I would be most appreciative. And most of all, those who can't send a dime, please make dua for me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses me to recover from this tragic disease and that this is a trial that I'm going through. And I want to do more and more to dedicate it to support good people like Sister Qadira, who's doing a great, phenomenal job, and other good people that listen to the broadcast. Our numbers are up, Sister Qadira, as a result of your broadcast. You're live streaming everywhere. It's just phenomenal. Are you live streaming as well? Good. Now, how do one get live stream?
If you want to go directly onto Blog Talk Radio, they would just go to www.blogtalkradio.com, do /Imam Alfred, and it will pop up, and it will show that the show is live, and you would just click on the link to listen to the show on the web.
Oh, what I mean, but I thought they could see you too, right? You're not live streaming as well.
No, not yet.
But knowing you, as you cook the hummus, you're probably in your lab cooking a live screen. That's what I thought you had advanced to. Well, I thank you, sister. You're doing a wonderful job. I know people are being educated Islamically. You've had some very, very extraordinary topics, and hopefully in the next week or two we can co-host some programs together, with your permission.
Okay, inshallah.
Thank you, sister. Keep up the good work and make dua for me. Please make the appeal again, ask the people to send the donations.
Okay, inshallah, I will.
Thank you, sister.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. Salam. And again, we make dua for Imam Alfred for Allah to heal him and his prostate cancer, inshallah. Getting back to show, I just, want to make people understand that, we have to do what we can to encourage, to empower the Muslims and also, the fathers, that it is important that we participate in our children's lives. It's not a joke. It's definitely not a joke, that we, create children and we don't participate in their lives. Or with the mothers, we don't encourage the fathers to take part in their children's lives because we're bitter about the breakup or the divorce from our children's father, that's definitely not the way to go. It's not going to benefit no one. It's not going to benefit the children in the end. And it's going to cause some hatred with your children, you know, as they grow up and as they, you know, become aware of the world. You keeping your child from his father's family, the child's family, on the father's side, because you're bitter that things didn't work out the way you wanted to, is not going to do anything for your child. I've seen this happen numerous times, where as a child becomes an adult, they hate their mother. They despise her. They loathe her so much so that they can't even stand to look at their mother for what they did to them as a child, with the aspect of keeping their father out of their lives. It's going to backfire. It's going to definitely backfire on you. Or in the reverse, you know, I've seen situations where the father has done everything possible, under the sun to partake in his children's life, and the mother has finagled everything to keep the children away from him and basically turned the children off of him. So much so that the children have no respect for him. And no matter what he does, no matter what he does monetarily, physically, nothing is satisfying these children. This is why it's important that you establish something early, whether you got to go to court or not. A lot of men don't have the patience to deal with the court system. You know, women will take them to court for child support, so forth and so on. And you'll just pay the child support and think that's sufficient. It's not sufficient. You should also go to court to seek visitation of your children. Show your kids that you love them and that you're willing to fight for them. You know, if you don't show that, the kids will think that you don't care, that what was it that you didn't love me enough to fight for me, to want to see me, to want to be a part of my life. These children are screaming out for help. They're screaming out for help, and people don't get it. People just don't get it. And it's sad. It's sad whenever you see children put in the middle of a bitter breakup or a bitter divorce. Healthy for the children to be exposed to that kind of behavior. So, you know, what can we do as a community, as Muslims and non-Muslims, because I know non-Muslims listen to the show as well, what can we do to try to rectify the situation at hand? What can we do to make things better? You know, I always reach out to the audience to get your ideas, to get your input as well into these types of topics, these types of situations. Because, again, I don't know everything. I absolutely don't know everything. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the most intelligent. You know, I try to bring these types of things to the radio so that people can look at these situations and take it back and then try to work on it and implement it in your life. And also, you know, pass this on to your children or to your other family members. Like, you know, this is something that we need to, this is something we definitely need to adhere to and try to implement it as best as possible in our lives. First and foremost, we need to make sure that our men are educated. We have to make sure that our men are educated. And how can we do that? Well, we can start with the ones that are still in school, that are still being educated, you know, through the educational system. We can start there. Not just sending our kids to school and making sure that they learn, but also actively participating in the process of them learning. When they come home from school, make sure you set aside time to do the homework with them. Sit down, not just put the homework in front of them and have them do it, but sit there and make sure that they do it, review it, go through it, and make sure that they understand what they're learning. And the reason why I'm saying this is because we know that if black male children do not read on a third grade level, third grade, they have already placed a statistic on them that before the age of 18 or after 18, they will be put into the correctional facility. They have already established these numbers on black male children. It's true. I did a whole show on it about how they don't want to see black children and mainly black boys succeed. So parents, and especially fathers, if you're not focusing on your child, and especially your son, the society that we live in states that he will become a criminal, and we already made a space for him in a jail. And it's true, because if you look at the numbers of schools being built versus juvenile detention centers and correctional facilities, the numbers outweigh greatly. It's something that's happening, and it's something that we need to pay attention to. It's something that we can do if we actively participate. You know, and I'm not saying that the mother shouldn't, you know, focus or pay attention to with the kids. If the both parents can actively participate. Again, you know, like when your child has school conferences, things of that nature, both parents should be in attendance. Both parents should be in attendance because why? I'll tell you why. When teachers see that not only one parent, but both parents are actively participating in the child's life, the teachers then pay a greater amount of attention to that child. Statistics prove it. If that child is a child that no parent never comes, when they call, the parent never answers, if the parent comes up, you know, it's you know, not a great visit for them, that teacher pays less attention to that child because they know that no one cares about that child. But if you have a child where not only one, but both parents are actively participating in this child's educational life, they pay a greater amount of attention to that child and focus more on that child. And I'll speak on that 100%. Teachers know if I have a problem or an issue, or if my child is having a problem or an issue, they reach out to me, call me on my cell phone, call me at my business line, whatever, without a hesitation, because they know they're going to see a result from me. From whatever they tell me, they know that they're going to see a result. Also, something, you know, what makes a man in today's society is that when you have children, or even if you're in a relationship with someone other than your children's mother and that person has kids, you still have to maintain a certain image. Okay, we know in Islam there's no drinking and smoking and all this other stuff that goes on, pills and all this other stuff, but kids are very aware of what you do. And when you smoke and drink and carry on, cuss and do all these things, children feel like it's okay for them to do that. They feel like it's okay for them to do that because they see either mommy's boyfriend, mommy's husband, or my dad doing this. In order for us to break the stigmatism around this, we have to set the example. And again, for male men, it's a greater responsibility on you to implement this, because if you have daughters, you know, think like this. And this is something that I always say. If you have a mother, if you have a sister, if you have a niece, if you have a daughter, would you want them marrying somebody like you? Would you even accept proposal to marriage for one of those people if the man was like you? And only you know you. Only you know you. We have to get it together. We see, you know, on the news, outside of police brutality, we're killing our own selves. Nobody rallies when black people kill black people. No one speaks against it. No one is up in arms when black people kill black people. But when a cop or someone of another race kills a black person, we want to argue, we want to protest, we want to demonstrate. But why not even stop it where it starts? These young people are being killed in rapid numbers. Just within the last two to three weeks, it's been so many young black males being killed over foolishness. Where are their fathers? Where are their fathers? You see the mothers, you see the grandmothers, but you don't see the fathers. These children didn't create themselves. We don't have no Jesuses here. We don't. But where are the fathers at? Where are they? You know, it only takes a couple of minutes out your day to check on your child. Do what you can do to the best of your ability. Don't fight and bicker with your child's mother, your ex-wife. You know, do what you can do. Plead to them and, you know, don't be hostile. Don't be hostile, because the situation is already a bad situation if you're not together. It's already a bad situation. So don't be hostile. And I'm not saying be extremely passive. You know, let them know that you care, that you want to participate in the child's life. Show your child that you want to fight for them. Also, do what you can do to exhaust the resources. Because, you know, a lot of people think that there aren't things out there because, oh, I'm a male and, you know, they have everything for the mothers, but they don't have anything for the fathers. And to some degree, that's correct. But there are programs out there that help you with raising your children, working in your cause to help you get visitations for your children, to get, you know, to actively participate in your children's lives. You know, set aside time. You know, a lot of times these, you know, men get into these new relationships and they forget about their children and things of that nature. And I say this, if you're a woman and you know this man has children, and you see that he doesn't actively participate in his kids' lives or makes no effort to do it at all, if you choose to lay down with this man and have a child with him, the statistics are great that he's going to do the same thing to you. If you acknowledge this in the beginning, like why this man doesn't participate in his child's life, and he gives you all kinds of excuses, like the mother's bitter, she's angry, this and that, and you reach out to him and you say, well, have you taken her to court to get visitation? to get your rights or whatever like that. And he says, no, I don't have time for that. I advise you to go into the opposite direction. Because if he's not willing to fight for his children, he won't want to fight for you either. That's something that we should definitely keep in the scope when, you know, we're looking for a new relationship. You know, find out what that relationship is with the man and his children. Even see how he acts and interacts with his children. See how he acts and interacts with your children, if you have children. You know, we get into the classification of, okay, a man is somebody who works, he takes care of home, he's affectionate, you know, he deals with his wife in a just manner, he takes care of his kids, he handles all his responsibilities. These are all great attributes that we look for in a man. But first and foremost, what we should be looking for, and I'm just, you know, speaking of this generically, I need to find somebody who fears Allah and loves Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam second. Because if you love Allah more than you love me, we good. If you adhere to what is stated in the hadith, we're good. Because those two things show something that's very important and a great attribute of a good man. Because if he's adhering to what he knows is correct based on those two important fundamentals in Islam, he should treat you just. He should treat his children just. He should be very dedicated to not only his children's lives, but to his wife as well. These are very important things that we should look for in a spouse. Also, this is something that, you know, your wakil or your wali should be looking into. These are great, great aspects that make a great Muslim man. Islam would solve the problems, as I stated in the beginning of the call. Islam would solve the problems of this country, of this society, without no second guess. It would be taken care of. These men adhere to the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There would not be mistreatment of the wives, of the children, whatsoever. But we fail to implement this 100% into our lives because we want to keep one foot in the dunya, in jahiliya, in the world of ignorance. We want to keep one foot there and one foot on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We want to keep straddling that fence. But Allah said you got to choose which path you're going to take. And a man that really loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and really loves Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would adhere to the sunnah and would implement it in everything that you do. But we don't. And we continue to play not only with this religion, but we play with these women, we play with our children like we're not going to be judged for them. We're not going to be judged for any of our actions that we do on this earth. You will die one day. We don't know when you're going to die, how you're going to die, but Allah said you're going to die. Every soul shall taste death. Every last one of us is going to depart this earth, and we are going to be placed in the grave. We will have to stand before Allah on the day of judgment and answer for the things that we committed in this world. So choose wisely. Again, if anybody has comment, questions, or concerns, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1. I see we have a question. Can we put you through? Hello, thank you for joining Religion Means Alive. This is Sister Cordera.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
My question is two-part. Are we talking about what makes a man, or are we talking in particular what makes a Muslim man? And since everyone is not going to accept the dictates of Islam, are we doomed?
The second part, I'm trying to not make this a religious call tonight. So basically it's what makes a man. And I'm speaking from my side of things. That's why I'm implementing the religious aspect to it. But, no, we can definitely talk about what makes a man. Again, providing for your family, taking care of your children, being a decent person in the society, not, you know, running around in the streets with guns, selling drugs, not working. You know, just being a misfit in this world, you know, that makes a good man. Trying to obtain an education, maintaining a job, you know, just being a good human being is what makes a good man.
Okay, that's very good, because I'm quite sure there are non-Muslims listening. And
right.
Also, I know many non-Muslim men that are excellent. But for myself, you know, I've been blessed with five sons and two daughters with my wife. And all my children were born before I accepted Islam, or Allah blessed me to come that way. And our relationship and our upbringing of the children was very good, almost excellent, in terms of, you know, life and following the best that I could be within myself and my upbringing. And when I got involved with Al-Islam, what it did was it enhanced what I already had. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, if we follow the dictates of the best in us, you know, we can be all right. You know, one of the major problems is we live in what you call a dangerous language environment. And I think that's one of the things that has to be structured and changed is the language. You have sayings like sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Words will destroy you. Nike has a slogan, just do it. That's a dangerous language for people or youth that's not thinking to take that language. So, you know, there's a lot of things in society that we have to change in order for us to get back to, you know, where we should be. I think what happened with us as far as particularly African-American people, we have been affected so much that it seemed like it's in our DNA. And I like to say DNA is divine natural ability. That's how ingrained the works of Shaitan or the influences of bad behavior have affected us. So there's a lot that has to be done. I'm hoping others will call in and share also. But my main point was to come back to that, you know, if we follow the best in us, you know, we can be all right. We just have to be in touch with that. We have to be in tune with that, because you have many people of different faiths who are excellent in their character, with their family life, as mothers, as fathers, and bringing their children up, and as good people in society. So that's why I asked the question, because, you know, a lot of times on our programs, Muslim programs, we have to realize we have non-Muslims that are listening too, and you know, we just want to show some balance also in how we offer things. Thank you so much, and I'm going to join the program.
All right, thank you. I appreciate you calling in.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Okay, I have another caller. I'm going to take you. Thank you for calling in to Religion Means Alive. This is Cordera. How can I help you? Hello? Hello? I guess that person doesn't have a comment. So, again, you know, as the brother just stated, no, this call is in general. And I wasn't raised in Islam. I was raised under Christianity, like I said. You know, my father was a good person. You know, he worked. He took care of his family. He made sure that we had things. But, again, he wasn't affectionate to the degree where, you know, I could see that, and that's something that I got. And again, I said that it's not that he didn't love me. I understood that he loved me, absolutely. But one of the things that I like to state is that he knew that he wasn't that way with his children, but he sure made it up with his grandchildren. He always made sure he showed love and affection to his grandchildren, and that's what made the difference. You know, and sometimes it takes men to see the wrongs that they have done, but they get that second chance, inshallah, sometimes to make it up with the next generation and to be an integral part of the upbringing of the next generation. Again, you know, I just encourage fathers, if you have children, especially your girls, and moreover, your boys, because we see what's happening with these boys out here. The age is getting younger and younger and younger for the demasculation of black men. It's encouraging these black boys to become more feminine, and I'm not talking about in a good way. I'm talking about in a negative way. Leading up to and including becoming homosexual. These are things that we need to be a part of in our children's lives, because I always said this, and this is something that, you know, I always said, a man can only teach another man how to be a man. A woman can't teach a man how to be a man because she's a woman. And vice versa, a woman can't teach, a woman can't teach a man how to be a man, and a man can't teach a woman how to be a woman. It has to come from, you know, a woman, and it has to come from a man. This is why it's important not only for you to, you know, be in your children's lives, but also be married to your children's mother. It's very important. It's very important because when children see both their parents working in a greater good to take care of them and to strive to keep the family bond together, it resonates within the children and it gives them a more positive outlook on life. You know, it's something that's a rarity these days that, you know, You don't have the general home. It's 9 times out of 10, it's a single mother raising her children. You know, fathers, I just encourage you, you know, or even more so, for young men that don't have children, investigate the woman that you want to have children with. Make sure she's someone that you would be proud of to make the mother of your children. There was a young girl who got killed this week, and I posted it on my page, and it just upset me to a great deal that I was, like, utterly disgusted about the whole situation. There was a young girl outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who was 28 years old. She had 8 children, all under the age of 13. One of her children's fathers, she had a restraining order against him, and he violated that, and, you know, she still continued to entertain him and keep him around. Well, he killed her. He shot her in her head, all because she took the money that was spent on diapers for his child, spent that money on diapers, and he wanted that money spent on marijuana. He killed her. So now we have a child who has not only lost their mother, they have lost their father. And you have 8 children, remember, all under the age of 13, with no mother. With no mother. All over marijuana. Is this what our society is coming to? The mother of your child chose to buy diapers for your child, and you kill her because she used that money to buy, she didn't use the money to buy marijuana. He was 20 years old, so your entire life is over. And again, he meets that statistic. We got a place for him in the jail. Where was his father? Where was his mother? Why didn't his mother or his father talk to him about these types of situations? This is why it's so important that especially black men, that you play a part in your children's lives. You become a productive person of the society. You don't become a statistic. You avoid everything that could possibly take you down the wrong path. You take the other road. You never take that road that's going to lead you down the wrong path. But it starts at home. It starts at home. And these things, we have to ingrain in our children, in the society that we live in. You know, growing up, you know, we had people who would check you. If you did something out of order, they told your parents, and you only not got checked by them, 9 times out of 10, you were punished by your parents. Nowadays, your neighbor or nobody else can say anything to you because for fear of retribution, you're going to be shot, something's going to happen to you. We need to get back to those days where our children know that the entire society, your neighbors, everyone cares about you and your well-being, and that we don't want to see you go down this wrong path. It's going to take a lot for us to, you know, get right back to where we need to be. But the way things are going, I don't see it becoming different. I don't see things changing the way that we need to see them change. But, again, it starts with you. It starts with you. Don't be afraid to say something. If you see something wrong, try to change it. Try to implement it. It's crucial for our society, especially as people of color, to make sure that, you know, we are we are positive in this, in our communities. We show our faces. We get out. We, you know, participate in community events, things of this nature. You know, if they're having a forum where people are speaking in your neighborhood, or, you know, just general things going around, that we participate in these things. It's not corny to participate in these things. It's crucial that we do. It starts at home, and I always say this. I say this on the majority of my calls. If you don't start with the foundation, which is your own home, everything that you build on it will be weak and will have the potential of failing. So on that note, I'm going to get ready to conclude the call. So I just want to reach out to everyone again. If you want to participate and help Emium Alfred in aiding him with his prostate cancer, I know he has a GoFundMe, and it's / Emium Alfred. If you want to reach out to me, if you have a topic, if you, you know, a topic, concern, question, anything you want to reach me with, feel free to give me a call at 610-836-2120, or you can reach me via email, qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks, Facebook, Instagram, Path, Twitter, Google Talk, so I can be reached at, you know, any of those forums. Again, I thank everybody for joining the call tonight, and, you know, I just want to conclude that, you know, I started off the call in the beginning regarding the situation in Paris. Again, Islam does not condone these types of behaviors. We steer clear of these things because it is not, you know, in our fundamentals to do these types of things or even claim that we're Muslim and doing these things. And, again, everybody who says they're Muslim, they ain't Muslim. And I'm going to just leave it like that. Everybody who says this, you know, it looks like a duck. It must be a duck. Not all the time. It could be a platypus. So, you know, we have to be very careful and mindful of these things when, you know, when people start, you know, these types of, oh, all Muslims are terrorists and things of that nature. No, we have to avoid those things if at all possible and correct them and let them know that this has no part in Islam. Again, I'm Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad, and I thank everyone for joining. Religion Means a Lot. Tonight's topic was What Makes a Man, Part 1. Part 2, inshallah, I will do on Monday, and that would be What Makes a Woman. So I hope you guys tune in on Monday, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, and have a great evening.